Hello, everyone. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2026, and this is the week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. And what's sorry about that. Same thing happened last week, you know? Right when I get started, I have this sneeze. Anyway, what are we talking about other than my familiar condition? Current market conditions. Boy, well, I have a lot to say about that. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock, and crypto picks. You go ahead and punch those in now, and we'll get to it. We'll get to the live charts. So I want to continue to talk about the methodology in action. I'll have a lot to say about that. I want to talk about taking profits, discretion, the advantage of being selective, which is going to come with a jinx, and you'll see that in just 1 second. Obviously, if you have any questions, you can go ahead and type them in now. I want to talk a little bit about understanding bear markets, and you know me, when I start looking at charts, I get all excited. I know you want to party with me. And I actually got some ideas right before I went live, and I started to flesh them out a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and give you that fodder for research. Business claims scream, as you know, you can lose money trading, or as often summed up, all predictions about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen to me now and then. Thank you, Greg, for that. There's all my contact information. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. So as I've been saying ad nauseum, the missing piece for me early in my career was seeing somebody else trade. Yeah, anybody could show you a cherry-picked trade, but show me every trade. And show me every trade before you take that trade. And show me how you're going to manage that trade. And do all these things and show me. And then I'll see the ups and downs. And so on and so forth. So I was very lucky, as I said early on, to work with some traders at a hedge fund, actually kind of a startup hedge fund, another hedge fund, and some individual traders doing programming research and technical analysis. And seeing these guys do this trading really helped me out. I saw the ups and downs with them. In one case, I saw one gentleman get better and better and better, like over a 6-week period. He was so much better than he was. And that gave me hope, like, okay, I struggle here and there, as we all do, and that struggle never goes away, by the way, okay, in case you're wondering. You know, I have a lot of ups and downs, and I wear my feelings on my sleeve, so my wife knows when things aren't going well. Anyway, but being able to see the traders and realize that they have ups and downs, too, was very important to me. So let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology and action. This was a former mystery chart, PL, and you can see it was in a nice uptrend, accelerated uptrend. It pulls back to the 30 EMA. That sets up a Landry-like pullback, and you can see down here, you can see the Landry-like indicator down to zero from about 40 or so. So that's about 40 days where the lows are greater than the EMA, and then it goes back to zero, which makes it easy to qualify and quantify setups. Now, of course, you still want to look at the chart. You still want to look for acceleration, persistency, and all those things that I preach about each week. But anyway, parameters were down below. Entry was here. Stop is here. Initial profit target is up here. So let's see what happens. Well, it triggers. It bounces around a little bit. Then just flat lines. And this would make for another one of many dead money reports. Okay, you're in this thing for, what, a month or longer? And you're thinking, geez, Dave, you know, 6 weeks in here, I'm underwater or barely up. This is dead money. And dead money has no potential of future gain, little or no potential, I should say. And you don't know that, okay? So the best thing to do is just follow the plan. We're underwater on one right now that has been improving today, notwithstanding. And even though we've been underwater for a long time, I'm just going to go ahead and follow the system. Anyway, because of the gap open, we were able to bank 1357. Usually on the first loaf, as you know, we're looking for a 1% move on the overall account. So at 100K, that'd be $1,000. In this case, we got a little bit more than that, about 35% more than that. And then it stopped out for a gain of 429. Now, I love when these stocks take off. Don't get me wrong. But usually when you have these huge moves like this, they're just not sustainable. And of course, in many cases, they come down, stop you out, and then take off again. Anyway, that's the better than a poke in the eye trade. And if that's the worst you did on every trade, you would own the world pretty quickly. And I'm going to circle back to that in a few minutes. DNA, this was a former mystery chart. Nice little Landry line pullback here. And there's all the parameters. And by the way, you can find those archives at davelarry.com/archives if you want to take a look at those. And also, if you want to see the newer ones, then subscribe to my YouTube channel and look at the playlist, Dave Landry's Core Trading Service. And out of courtesy to my clients, I put a delay in there until all potential setups have triggered, and then I release the service. So that might be one day or 1 week delayed, or sometimes a little bit longer. Anyway, entry, stop, IPT. We take half the IPT, remember that. But we haven't had a chance to take half just yet. And you can see this stock's kind of all over the place. And then as of late March, we were down 1382 per 100K. But from there, the stock has begun to take off again today, notwithstanding. So now, or at least the time of the snapshot, there was 454, negative 454 open. So that's a $928 move, or almost 1% on the account. So maybe this is going to be a comeback story. We'll see. CLMT, this was not a mystery chart. A mystery chart is something that I recommend to my clients, and I show it with the screen blacked out or whatever, the name blacked out, and it's a mystery chart, right? But if it triggers intra-week in between shows, I should say, then I don't, then it's not a mystery chart, right? But anyway, you can see all these in the archive, so you know they're not hindsight. Anyway, like I said last week, I like a minor double top knockout, or a minor double top and a knockout move. That's what I call a double top knockout. So ideally, how many days do we have it here? 5 days. So you've got 1 week in between. So you want 3 to 4 days in between. 5 days, that's good, or even longer is fine. But you have a minor double top in the market, and ideally you want that second peak, this peak right here, to be higher to the left. That gives sort of false hope to everybody thinking that it's taken off without them, creates a little FOMO, sucks in a few shorts who like the short stocks that are at high levels. And then the TKO begins to knock them out and vindicates the shorts. And should the trend continue, they'll get squeezed out at higher levels, which could help your position. So entry was here, stop was down here, initial profit target up here. Let's see what happens. Triggers, and once again, kind of dead money, right? But fortunately, it does take off. Remember, when the stock hits the initial profit target intraday, we move the stop up. On a daily basis, or I should say a closing basis, we adjust that stop, but only in the direction of the trend, with the trend, when it's making new closing highs, okay? So that trailing stop you see is updated every day, or not updated, so it stays the same. There's no change in the market, or if it comes back in. And once you hit the initial profit target, you take off half your shares, you immediately move that stop to break even on the remainder. So barring overnight gaps, you have the potential for a home run. Anyway, we banked 964. I think there was I don't know why that's not quite 1K. There was the entry was a little higher on the gap or something. So that's much better than the poke in the eye. Now, let me show you how to squeeze out some additional profits. So our initial profit target was 35 on this one. And I came in and I knew the market was going to gap higher. And it was getting fairly close to that IPT, or it looks like it was going to, based on the momentum, looks like it was going to possibly hit it. So initially, I put out a Facebook post close enough, and by the time I got the post out, this market really began the rally and had taken out that IPT. So what I decided to do, because it was a gap and go type of situation, I decided to put in a 0.5 trailing stop on half. Now, when the market is at the initial profit target, okay, and I have a half a point trailing stop, I'm willing to give up 50 cents on half of those shares in attempt to squeeze out an additional profit. Now, when this market began to rally, that automated stop went up with the stock. And using the idea of riding out longer term trends, except in this case, it's intraday, once the stock was point and change above my initial profit target, I widened that trailing stop up to one point. So at that point, when it's hitting like 36 or so, worst case scenario, unless something crazy happens, like a halt, which could happen, right? It happens sometimes twice. But unless something crazy happens, at least I'll get my initial profit target out of the trade. I'm no longer less than initial profit target with the trailing stop. And I've given it an extra point of wiggle room. Now, as I've said in the past, if you're happy with 2 points above that IPT, or if this thing starts coming in a little bit, nothing wrong with bailing out up here, okay, somewhere when the market begins to come in. I just like to put that trailing stop in and let the market take me out. And again, I let it widen out to give it a little bit more room. The idea was to ride this stock all day, and if it shot up 5 points at the end of the day, exit and make 5 points more than initial profit target, okay, than the initial profit target. So I'm applying a little discretion, which can cost you, right? But in this case, I'm like, it's 50 cents, and I hate to use this term, but for lack of a better term, of the market's money. So I'm willing to give that up in an attempt to capture a big move, maybe a move 10 times that amount. Who knows? But anyway, I stopped out, and I've got a 94 cent improvement. And so that's much better than a poke in the eye. A little extra money on that one. All right, this was a former industry chart, and you can see that this stock made all-time highs, okay? And then it began to implode and formed a bow tie to the downside, and then pulled back after banging out some new lows. There's all the parameters. Again, DaveLanner.com/archives. I just updated them a few days ago, so they should be fairly current. Entries here, stop is way up here. Now, the beauty of a transitional setup is that you have a pretty good idea where you're wrong in the setup, okay? So if this stock goes on to make new highs as a short, you know you're wrong, okay? So having a nice wide stop fairly close to that top is a good idea, because you know where you're wrong. If you're trading a generic pullback, okay, then, and let's say the stock pulls back and it starts to rally and you're long, you don't know whether your stop should be like right here, right here, right here, or whatever, because you don't know if it's through retracing or whatever, and you don't know how far it's going to retrace. But with a transitional setup, meaning an early trend type of setup, you know that if it goes back to the old highs, then you're wrong. Excuse me for 1 second here. I thought I had water, but I did not. Anyway, so that's the beauty of a transitional setup. And oh, by the way, I get more questions on my transitional setups than all the other setups combined. They're a little bit more tricky. Sometimes a deep pullback, a stock is at an inflection point, okay? Meaning that it's either going to roll back over or go back to brand new highs. So you could sometimes in the trading, probably not that often in a trading service, but it probably has occurred a few times, where you might see something set up on the long side and then not that long, or not too distant future, I should say, it might be set up on the short side because you have a little bit of a rally up, and that sets up a first thrust or a pattern like that. This right here is a first thrust, meaning this is your first thrust lower, first significant thrust lower, followed by a retrace. But getting back to the questions that I've been fielding lately, somebody on Twitter put up a weekly chart of FCX, which is something that we were looking to short recently. And the weekly chart still looked bullish. And I explained to him that, yeah, the weekly might still look bullish, but the daily has turned, okay? And with a transitional setup, your goal is to capture a major top. Now, if I'm going to short something and I'm using a transitional setup, I'm not going in for nickels and dimes. I'm going in for the kill, so to speak. I want the stock to half in value, okay? Ideally, or whatever. And if you have a big, thick, well-known company like M&ST, and they're not splitting the atom, right? They're soft drinks or whatever. Great for cleaning things up, though, with the monster beverage There's no crud cutter better than that stuff. Try it if you don't believe me. But anyway, a stock like this coming in, all-time highs, everybody's happy. A stock begins to implode. People get nervous. And like I said, in recent weeks, people don't tend to sell stocks on the way down. They tend to sell stocks on the way back up, okay? And if that rally doesn't materialize, then sometimes you can get a really serious slide to the downside, and eventually they're forced out because of margin or they need money, whatever the case may be. But anyway, initial profit target is way down here, so let's check it out. We're off to a pretty good start here. We're having a little bit of retrace rally here and there, but for the most part, so far, so good. I am long put options on this one. We talked about the put options last week, so go ahead and check that out. And we have $500 in change over profits. Okay, VSCO. Now, here's another case where a stock was in a longer-term uptrend, and then it began to trade sideways. Now, notice the indicator down here, or as I like to call it, Illustrator, is the bow tie moving average proper order. So if the 10 is greater than 20, 20 is greater than 30, 10 simple, 20 exponential, 30 exponential, okay? Then it's green, and it counts a number of bars. So you had like 110 days or so where it was in uptrend proper order. But notice from this point here forward, it never did make a new high. So regardless of what your indicator is saying, always look at your chart for confirmation. So that market has lost some steam, okay? Didn't quite get to all-time highs. And I don't know if that was a closing high, but it got close enough to where it likely might have faked some people out. And remember, at least with my version of technical analysis, you're using the charts to read the mind of the market, what they have done, the players, the traders, and what they are likely to do. Never forget, okay? This is a hard point. But, you know, it's like the smarter you are, the harder it is. But it's really quite simple. You're trading traders, not markets. And that's why you have to look at the psychology of the market and figure out what the players are doing, have done, and will likely do next. Anyway, nice little bow tie there. There's all your parameters. Entry is here. Now, as I said in weeks prior, remember with these transitional setups, you're not waiting for a big, fat, deep pullback. Sometimes you'll get one on the short side, but most of the time you won't. And so what you do is you have to be willing to get in at the first signs of a pullback, okay? So we have a little one bar pullback here. And it is a little dangerous with these transitional patterns, especially if you just have that one little tiny bar, okay? Because it hasn't really shaken out players in that pullback, right? That's the whole idea of the pullback. And so it is a little dangerous, but as I often say, like the American pioneers, you're either going to get the gold or get arrows in your back, right? And remember what I just said a minute ago, because you're still kind of fighting a much, 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 much longer term trend, okay? Like in the FCX example, again, it was a weekly pullback. And it might go back to make brand new highs. We didn't get triggered on that one, so that one's no capital was put in harm's way. But anyway, entry was here, stop is up here, initial profit target down here. Now, the stop in this case is right around the bottom of that base. And that base from here to here, that's overhead supply. So anybody who bought the stock in this area is likely looking to get at it break even. What did it just say? People in general tend to sell on the way up and not on the way down until forced out. Anyway, IPT is way down here. So it triggers, backs up a little bit, and now it retraces back up. Some, what's the old market adage? All shorts go against you, and it seems, initially at least, and it seems that that's a fairly true, or one of the few true adages out there. So at the time of this snapshot, which may have proved a little bit, we had $692, negative $692 of open profits. All right, you have mystery chart reveal. And again, look at those all-time highs. Sound like tiny elves. Look at those all-time highs, huge. This little peak here, which is kind of cool, is higher than that one, okay? Bow tie to the downside, a little bit on the sloppy side, but that's okay. We've got a thrust lower, so we know that it is a legitimate rollover, okay? And you can see little yellow in here. Ideally, you want to see it go from red to green or green to red as quickly as possible. Like back here, you can see that happened pretty quickly. Not that that'd be a tradable setup back here. I like the bow ties coming off of major lows for longs and all-time highs, at least, or hopefully at least, for shorts. Now, maybe a multi-year high is fine, but ideally, you want some trend to be transitioning from a major high or a major low. A lot of times I'll get charts with bow ties in the middle of a trend, and I'm like, no, or a bit of a sideways trend. I'm like, that's not the idea. That's not the author's intent. The idea is to capture a major high or major low or a market after it's made major highs or major lows, and you're getting it at the first possible chance to hopefully capture a long-term trend. And we had one, I think it was ARLP, that we stayed in forever. And one client, I don't know if he's still in it or not. Jeff, you here today? Are you still in that one? Because I didn't adjust it for dividends, and that's something that I overlooked. And he did, and he was able to stay in that stock, I think, an extra year. Anyway, entry's there. Stop is up here. Initial profit target is down here. And you can see it didn't trigger, so I decided to take it off because now it's pushing back towards the old high. So remember what I just said? This is Freeport MacMoran. And like I said earlier, somebody was asking me on X, doesn't this look like a longer-term bullish chart? I was like, yes, it does, okay? And so that might be playing out, that longer-term pullback on the weekly chart. All right, what do we have here? Another mystery chart. What do we have? All-time highs, okay. So everybody's happy, and then all of a sudden, the market begins to slide. Bow tie moving averages go from uptrend, proper order, downtrend, proper order. Stock pulls back, okay? Entries here, stop is up here, initial profit target is down here, and so far it hasn't triggered, okay? So we'll see what happens there. Now, while I was working on these slides, by accident, I happened to notice something, and maybe I need to do a little bit more research to double confirm, but I looked at it about three or four times, and, you know, during this period of time, I was kind of odd. It was kind of odd that I got ripped a new one because I suck, and sometimes I suck, believe me. But then, you know, by accident, I was looking at the spreadsheet. It's like, well, I shouldn't be too worried about that because I think it did pretty damn good. Maybe this guy had a fight with his wife's boyfriend or something. I don't know. But anyway, this is kind of shocking, and you know, results not typical, believe me. If they were, you'd probably never see my fat ass again. But I was kind of shocked that I only had one loss in the trading service. And believe me, personally, I've had some others since last September. So that's pretty amazing. I probably will not be able to sustain this, but this is a testament for being super selective. And, you know, during this period of time, especially we had all those choppy sideways movements, you'll notice that I didn't recommend anything new. And that was the secret sauce, okay? When I don't recommend anything for a while, I lose a bunch of clients because people in general are craving actions. Like, why am I paying this guy to tell me to do nothing? Well, because tomorrow I might find a setup where you make a heck of a lot of money, okay? Like a TFPM or a KGC or something like that, or what are these defense stocks that we rode out for a long time. But anyway, I probably shouldn't jinx myself, but I know that it likely won't continue. It'll probably normalize out a little bit, but anyway, I just thought that was kind of cool, kind of toot my own horn here. Dave Keller, my brother from another mother, by accident, I stumbled across one of his shorts on YouTube, and that's the link right here, and I'll throw that once I get this show edited and published on YouTube. I'll throw that link in there if you want to watch. Just a short little 1-minute video, and he talked about three S's of bear market rallies, and you know, that's one thing I've been thinking about a lot lately, and hopefully I can bring a little bit of that to you today, is you really have to understand the nature of the beast. And truth be told, I haven't adjusted to the new volatility of the market. We can get to the volatility in just 1 second. And trading a bear market is much different than trading a bull market. Much easier to trade a bull market than a bear market. And getting back to bear markets, he's talked about the three S's of a bear market rally, okay? They're sudden, okay? It's just out of the blue, bam, we had that huge day a couple days ago. Now, I was actually waiting for a more perfect scenario, which I'll show you in 1 second. But out of the blue, you know, he's right. They're just bam, out of the blue, market goes absolutely straight up. Okay. Now they're severe. The move can be tremendous. And the buy and hope apologist, if that's the right word, they like to say, well, if you don't stay in the market, some of the biggest days come in during bear markets or whatever. You know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, but if you lose 50% of your money and it bounces back, what good is that? Okay, a little bit, if it bounces back a little. And Greg Morris kind of turns all that on its head. If you have the time, read. Do I have a copy here handy? No. Investing with the Trend. And he does a lot. He shows a lot of statistics on what happens if you miss the biggest days and using market timing, and what happens if you miss both the biggest and the smallest days. He does a lot of research along those lines. And that sort of helps to disprove the buy and hope mentality, okay? Because, yeah, you have these huge big up days, but, you know, if the market goes from here to here and then has a bounce up 5% in one day or whatever the case may be, 3%, you know, you're still down 40 or 50% or whatever the case may be. Now, the other thing is they're seductive. And, amen, you see the market going straight up. Your FOMO kicks in the gear. You just want to buy at any cost. You just want to rush in. And it can really suck you in. So you got to be really, really careful. And this is why shorting is so damn hard. And I probably should stop bitching about how hard shorting is, right? But it is. And you have to just, it seems so easy. Like, oh, the market's tanking. I'll just get short, you know? Yeah, but the map is not quite the territory in this particular case. So anyway, three S's of the bear market rally: sudden, severe, and seductive. So you always get something good from my brother, from another mother. We've been giving each other shout outs lately a little bit. Anyway, taking a look at the VIX, and the VIX, we had that huge spike a while back, and we had that really big up day, which was kind of cool. And that's a sort of spike I was looking for in this last slide. This green line is the S&P 500 on a closing basis. The yellow bars are the VIX. And then this line here is the 10-day simple moving average. And down here is the distance, open, high, low, close from the moving average. Now, without going into a lot of details, I have created or modified a lot of VIX systems in the past, short-term-based systems. But I don't really believe in short-term systems that much anymore, other than possibly a backing for what you're doing. However, with the VIX stuff now, I will go in on an intraday basis, and you can see this VIX just absolutely exploded. This is one of the best intraday days that I've ever had, or day trading, if you want to call it that, with this VIX gapped to such a high level and then absolutely imploded. The VIX gets stretched, and then it tends to snap back in. Like Larry Connors taught me with volatility, it tends to overstretch and then overcorrect in the opposite direction. And that's where the reversion to the mean can work with volatility. Volatility is more of a reversion to the mean type of market than, it's definitely not a trending market. I'll see people put head and shoulder patterns and all kind of little cute things in the VIX, but that's not how it works, okay? It's a Beatrice. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Anyway, probably shouldn't use the word hope, but I was hoping to get the big washout in the market and have that VIX spike up. Now, we did get a little bit of a spike, but not enough to really get excited about it. And of course, that sudden updraft just came right in. Now, this is what I was kind of, the scenario I was sort of thinking, okay, before this little retrace, and we're down here towards these lows, I was thinking that we would get this washout type of move that would scare the bejesus out of everybody. You'd see that huge spike in the VIX, okay, and then an implosion in the VIX, and then an explosion higher in the market, okay, and then possibly a resumption of the trend from there. And that's kind of the scenario that was in my head. And it didn't quite play out like that. So markets tend to rhyme, not repeat. I know that's a Mark Twainism, and I don't know who said it in more current times. I'll have to ask somebody like Dave Keller. He'll know. He knows everybody. He was the head of research, technical analysis for Fidelity for some time. Kind of a fascinating backstory there. All right, some fodder for research. As I'm going live, I wanted to talk about how the volatility of the market has increased lately. And I got to thinking about that, hey, when does the volatility increase? Well, when the market begins to tank, the volatility increases. So without even looking at price, what I'm wondering is, could you trade a market based on the volatility if it's increasing or decreasing? So the premise is volatility increases in bear markets and volatility decreases in bull moves. People tend to get a little complacent and the volatility drops off because the market just kind of goes up day after day after day. But when people get into panic, the market volatility increases. And just like we just said, sudden, seductive, and whatever the other one was, severe, as far as those moves are, when the volatility is rising like that and the market's tanking. So my idea is to buy when volatility is decreasing, sell when volatility is increasing. And I haven't fleshed it out or anything, but I think there's something here. Now here we have a 50-day HV and a simple moving average of that. I was looking at like a 10-day simple average, and that might be something that might be a little bit more useful. But I was just trying to show like longer term, or try to figure out if longer term there's something there. And again, you can see the volatility getting higher than the 50 and beginning to rise. And notice that this market, when this happened back here, the market never really got too much above that prior little peak, okay? And then begins to sell off in earnest, and then the volatility goes higher, okay? So when the volatility is rising, think about getting out of the market. And when the volatility begins to implode, think about getting in. Now, as I said a second ago, I was experimenting with a shorter-term moving average because of the lag. Initially, when I was doing this little research, and this was all happened 20 minutes ago, but when I was doing this research, I was thinking that I want something a little bit longer term to look at for volatility. What's the norm for the last 50 days or so? And I want to be out of the market if it's above that norm and in the market if it's below. But you can see here that because markets, and here's kind of a potential exception to the rule, is bear market rallies and bottoms, I should say bear market bottoms and rallies, tend to be an event, okay? And tops tend to be a process. And I learned that from Greg Moore. So what do we have here? Here's a process, okay? Makes marginal new highs, rolling over. Then, you know, around here, people are like, the market's crashing. It's like, well, the market's been kind of crashing for a long time. And if you take a look at, and go and look at my trading service archives, and you'll see that during a lot of this phase, I had a hard time finding new setups, or the leadership was very narrow, and I pointed that out. And that had me a little cautious. Maybe that's why I didn't go gung-ho, because the market itself was going sideways. But notice even this last top, as severe as it feels, right? It was just kind of like a long process, kind of like a roller coaster type of thing going over. But the bottoms do tend to be, and it tend being a key word in that sense. There's no exacts in markets. But as a general statement, bottoms tend to be more of an event, and they tend to be kind of a volatile event, okay? So this is kind of interesting in here, but the volatility did begin to drop off. So this is where a shorter term moving average might come into play. And then you probably would want to, I know I said a second ago, just have something that was just volatility oriented as your predictor, but it probably wouldn't hurt to have price confirm what you're doing. So I have to figure that out. But anyway, over here you can see what happened in October, right? Volatility began to increase. And the market did make new highs in spite of the volatility increasing, but notice it came back in, and then it got really, really, really choppy for a while. Now, the volatility began to dry up, And the market, and again, this is where a price-based indicator might help you out in combination with this. So even though the volatility dropped, the market didn't make any forward progress. So that's something that could probably be fleshed out a little bit more. So you'd be in the market as a general statement. And then what's happened since? Okay, so notice the volatility increased way back here. And then, of course, you had the bow tie, right? So, you know, maybe bow tie, proper order, and volatility, or there's definitely some combination thereof. But I'd like to see how much I can, how I can make this work without price first, and then add the price layer on top of it. Anyway, just a little fodder for research. This is left over from last week. We have bow tie proper order for quite some time in the S&P 500. That's something you want to pay attention to. Here's a TFM 10% system. This is getting pretty popular, which is kind of, you know, I'm stroking my, blow my own horn here, but kind of excited about that. Seems like the, it's really taken off on X. I'm getting a lot of retweets and people are asking me questions and pretty excited about it. So that's got me really stoked. But anyway, my theory here is if a market's going to lose half its value, it's going to lose 10% first. Okay. Now, I see people on X applying this to volatile stocks with 10%, and that's not going to work. Okay. This was designed for the S&P 500, and 10% is a pretty good round number. It also works in the NASDAQ. The number could probably be a little bit bigger in the NASDAQ than 10%, but it does work there. I think we did get a sell signal recently. But the S&P 500 is in the be afraid zone, okay? As long as the market's within 5% of all-time highs, as a general statement, it's probably okay, all right? So that's kind of your 30,000-foot view looking at the market on a weekly basis. Okay, we're within 5% of the 50-week closing high or all-time high in this case. So I think we're okay for now. But once it drops 5% or more below, you know, I'll give Jeff another shout out here. He's the one who was telling me about that zone and how he likes to think about getting out of the market when it's in that 5% zone instead of waiting for a full 10%. You're going to get a whipsaw a little bit more, but you'll also be out with the, I might as well demonetize when the shit really does hit the fan. And then once you're 10% or more away from the 50-week high, then you really need to think long and hard about whether or not you still want to be long. Now, my whipsaw filter for this is the 50-week moving average. And in this particular case, the 10% line is well below the 50-week moving average. So that's kind of irrelevant. But as a general statement, you have to be, the actual rules, I should say, not a general statement, you have to be below the 10% line and below the 50-week moving average. So back here, your sell would have been down here, okay? But now that the 50-week is up here, the sell would be here. So I guess I could say in the rules, the greater or the lesser of, right, for the sell signal or below both, I think is the way it's written. But anyway, so we may have dodged a bullet. We don't know yet, obviously, but the system did not trigger, and this might just be a correction that's not the beginning of a bull market. But as Greg Morris says, we treat all tops as if they will become the big one, Elizabeth implied, right? So oral signals. So we do have some shorter term topic signals. So we have to take those seriously, such as the bow ties and the Landry light to the downside. But anyway, we bounced back nicely, and to my surprise, we're pretty darn close to that 5% level, okay? So maybe if we get within 5%, we could go back to not worrying, okay? Good luck with that. That was the last buy, so the sell would be there once again, below the 50 and 10% or more away. All right. Any questions on all that? We could jump into crypto. All right, so I doubt there's anything to do with crypto, but let's take a look, okay? Bitcoin's been flatlining for a long time. Where's it now? 67,000, okay? Where was it back in February, okay? Well, below that and above that, but around 67,000, right? As I preach, the 30 EMA Landry light can be your best friend and in crypto and in any other market. But right now we're sideways. I certainly wouldn't rush out and buy it, but at least it's beginning to kind of bottom out for now. Ethereum just looks abysmal. It's been in a longer term downtrend, so I would avoid that too. Now, as I say ad nauseum, when Bitcoin's really doing well, that's your bellwether, obviously. Sometimes you just come in here and buy some of these SHYT coins, the ones that are up the most. But ideally, I like them to be banging out some new highs. You can see there's really not a whole lot happening. That was at PL. That's cool. AXTI, that's an old, there's the Landry Light pullback, by the way. Kind of an extreme example, but that's kind of interesting. That might be a good Russian doll type setup where you look to get an intraday on a daily pattern, okay? Let's see, 50.95. Let's see what it does by the end of the day. But anyway, sometimes you just come in here and buy. And I have been doing a lot of work with crypto lately. I probably should, you know, do as I say, not as I do. I often say that you want to do your homework every day, even though you probably know nothing will come from it. An example I use often, and the guy's probably going to tell me, Dave, stop talking about me. But he told me that he was going to stay with the trading service, but he was going to take some time off because he didn't see anything happening in the foreseeable future. And quite frankly, neither did I. And the next day, we found two of the biggest setups, or I found two of the biggest setups of the year. Okay, no questions of crypto. Fantastic. Let's move on to stocks. If you want to talk about any individual stocks, feel free to ask me now. I'll be happy to take a look at them. There's the piece. So far, it's just a bit of a retrace. You've got a big thrust lower. So far, it's just retraced up, and we haven't even taken out yesterday's high yet, if yet is the key word in that sentence. And we're below the 200-day moving average. So this is looking kind of ugly in the piece. NASDAQ composite, same sort of action happened here too. You can see we bow tied a long, 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 long time ago, okay, to the downside. Not that that's the be-all, end-all, but it does, just like Landry Light and everything else, help to keep you on the right side of the market. But now we have Landry Light below the 200 simple and lots of Landry Light below that 50 simple. Now, you probably don't see me plot the 50 to 200 that often because I think they only matter when they matter. Right now, they're being well-watched, so I think it's worth watching. Anyway, bow tie to the downside. Notice the severity of the angle of inflection. You got the bow tie coming in, and you got the 50-day. When it hits at a sharp angle like that, it usually suggests that a bona fide top is in place. So that's kind of an ugly type of move. But the rest, you just kind of chop it around, and it really hasn't come unglued like the other indices have at this juncture. E for shares. This is the rest of the world, how they're behaving, and sometimes we're the dog with least fleas when it comes to markets, but the rest of the world is not doing so hot either, and we're not doing so hot either, obviously. But you see this bow tie to the downside a while back. I think somewhere in here would have been the bow tie, or maybe here officially, but you can see had a bit of a sell-off and a retrace since. A lot of areas, as I've been saying ad nauseum, are in longer term downtrends. Internet, software, quite a few other areas like that, okay? What's concerning is these areas that were just making all-time highs, gold and defense and semiconductors, and we'll get to the rest of those in 1 second, have made these all-time highs, and what do we have here? A little bit of a double top. Everybody in their brother thinks, okay, this is going to the moon, obviously, I better jump in. And then implodes, and then now we're having a little bit of a retrace rally. And that's why, I don't know if I showed it a second ago, we have one potential short, I think it did, as a mystery chart this week. Biotechnology has pushed all the way back to this overhead supply, okay? And now it's stalling out a little bit today, so that's a little bit of a concern, okay? So we'll see what happens. Maybe below today's low would be a new short on that one. Infrastructure, all-time highs, sharp thrust lower, a little bit of a retrace. The list goes on and on. Medical devices, that's healthcare, but that's a longer-term downtrend. Medical devices, longer-term downtrend. So again, a lot of these areas, transports, for instance, just made these all-time highs, sold off hard. So far, just retraced a little bit. Major drugs, so far, just pulling back. And that's looking fairly ugly still. Pretty ugly. How's that for an oxymoron from a trend-following moron? Semiconductors, a little bit of an opening gap reversal today. But boy, they look like they've topped out, at least for now. But kind of wide and loose and choppy. I mean, that's a short side. It's all over the place, right? A lot harder to hold on. Telecom was sort of at brand new highs, I guess, right here. Sharp sell-off so far, just retracing. Now, the only thing looking pretty good still is all service stocks. But as I said a few weeks ago, I was actually seeing some shorts setting up here, mostly longs, but some shorts setting up. And then notice that they made a higher peak here, okay? But then they pulled back in to the prior peak. And that's not one of my favorite patterns. I have one client that doesn't worry about that too much. He's done a lot of testing and all. But for me, it just seems like a market stalling out a little bit when it pulls back, takes off, and then pulls back to the prior pullback, okay? Pullback area, the high. So that's a little bit concerning. It's not the end of the world, but definitely make sure you're waiting for entries. Now, energies overall do look a little bit better. And so far, they're just pulling back a little bit. A little bit of a TKO-ish type of move. I wouldn't call that a full-blown TKO. I'd like to see a much, much bigger knockout type of move. But that's looking okay. But other than energies, I'm really not seeing a whole lot out there to get excited about. I'm seeing a lot of shorts in the metals. A couple of shorts here and there showing up in energies. That's a little bit more dangerous. But when they crack, they're going to crack in earnest, okay? So definitely pay attention to the shorts in the energies. For the most part, though, you probably want to sit on your hands a little bit and being selective and knock on wood. That's allowed me to have a pretty good run here through a nice uptrend, through a sideways market. And then now maybe we'll pick up a little money on the short side on a short or two, or maybe some of those put options will double so I can take some money off. By the way, getting back to the transitional setups like the bow ties, first thrust, et cetera, I get more questions on those than all my other patterns combined, right? So it is a little trickier. What I would encourage you to do is if you go into my YouTube channel and subscribe and like while you're there, and if you're watching me on YouTube now, subscribe and like. If you don't like me, then go have no fun somewhere else. Half kidding. What I've encouraged you to do is go in and watch the shows back here, back in March of 2025, and you'll see some of these shorts unfold. And then, of course, on the short side, I always say that all trend trades eventually end badly. The short side, they always and really badly, it seems, right? But go in and watch the shows and notice the bow ties that were setting up. Notice the mystery charts. CCL was a stock that comes to mind. Let's take a look at that. So it's Carnival Cruise. You can see way back there. Had the bow tie. Let's go back there just real quick. Any individual stocks you guys want me to look at? I'll be happy to do that real quick, and we'll get it wrapped up here in just a minute. So if you go back and look, you see right here, you had the bow tie, a little bit of a retrace, and then this market imploded nicely. I can't think of the other ones that we were shorting back then, but I can find them if you're interested. But anyway, so go in and watch those shows. Everybody, it's really easy to make money in a market as long as it keeps going up. It's when it begins to roll over or even chop sideways that it becomes a little bit more difficult. So go in and watch those shows back in early 2025. All right. Anything unanswered? Any questions? Let me check in with YouTube real quick. All right. Quiet bunch today. All right. While we're in impasse, I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. Glad to see the numbers are coming back up. That's good. Everybody have a great weekend. If you celebrate, happy Easter. And may the trend be with you. Thank you so much.